good morning. How are you guys doing today? Hey, you know what? I love you guys. I love being here. You know when you're in God's will, when every day you wake up and say, man, I get to work here at CBC. I love seeing you guys' faces every day. I know you probably get tired of mine. But I do know that you don't get tired of my boys, right? I think everybody loves my guys, huh? I was going to wear a tie today, but I realized I've gotten a little fatter, and I can't button this button right here. So sorry about that. But I've been working out. I've been on the basketball team with the faculty and staff, and on the volleyball team as well. The team that beat us last night, where are all those guys? The Smurf team, they're all wearing blue yesterday. They gave us a nickname, and they called us Team Arthritis. I didn't like that too much until I woke up this morning and I couldn't move. Something was wrong with me. I hope that we will have a good time in the Lord today. Amen. Hey, if you feel led to come to the altar while I'm preaching, do it. If you want to come sit down in the front, do it. I don't want anything to get in your way or hinder your way from a move of God. I almost wanted just to keep going in the flow of the worship today, but the Lord has a message for us. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And if I could get my PowerPoint up, I'd appreciate it. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, verse 5, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Two things just really busted out in my when I'm reading this. I saw this sentence. Verse 4, by faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And the second one was, he was commended as one who pleased God. Wouldn't that be awesome if God would say, I am pleased with you? That, oh man, when I read that, I'm like, God, my whole goal in life is just to please you. One day I want to be up in heaven and I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I want to show you something in this next passage. Sorry, I went too far. Verse 7, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. Verse 20, by faith Isaac. By faith Jacob. By faith Joseph. By faith Moses. Verse 29, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, Rahab. And then we skip down to verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. These were all commended for their faith. Let's just have a word of prayer before we go on. God, your spirit is very much alive and well in this place right now. God, empty me out and just fill me with your Holy Spirit. I am nothing. I am nobody. But Lord, you're going to use me as your mouthpiece right now. I ask, Lord God, that the message that I bring will resonate in each student, each faculty, each staff member that is here today. That they won't leave the same person that they came in, but as they leave this place, they will be transformed and renewed by your Spirit. Help us to live by faith like these of old. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This is referred to as the Hall of Faith. There's something about this passage of Scripture. When I think about it, wow. These are the men throughout the Old Testament that did great things. Many of you may not know that much about me, so I just want to share a little bit about myself. and on my faith journey. Now, I can't ever say that I can compare myself with Moses and David and these men, but every one of us has a small-scale faith that we've had to live by. By faith, when I was in college, the Lord had me to start a ministry group. And boy, this is an interesting story. I went to Southwestern, Assemblies of God University, and we had, oh, come on. And when I was there, there was a good number of Hispanic students. We had probably 200 Hispanic students. We got a few here. And we had all sorts of different ministries like you have here. We have Heart Song and 57.7 and all these different groups. We had quite a variety of them, but we didn't have a single one that did anything bilingually or in Spanish. And for about 2 or 3 semesters, a lot of the students would say, hey, we got to start this Hispanic group that we could go out and minister both in English and in Spanish. And a lot of talk, but not a lot of doing. And, you know, I was there, and I was a drummer, but it never occurred to me to start the band. Until one day as I was walking down the sidewalk to a class, I can remember exact part of the sidewalk that I was walking on. And the Lord said, I want you to start a bilingual ministry. You know what my response was? I laughed at God. I was like, God, I don't even know how to speak Spanish very good. I've never done anything like that in my life. I don't know how to do this. And then this is what I told God. I said, and this, I'm not lying, I told God this, I'll do it even if I fail. I didn't have a lot of faith. I said, I'm going to be faithful to do it. I'm going to go through the motions, but I don't really think it's going to happen. To make a long story short, the next week I put up a flyer, said, anybody want to join this group, come. And we had about 7 amazing vocalists and musicians show up. And I was thinking, okay, maybe halfway through the summer, we're going to start this group and I'm going to be able to book some churches and all this. And in the second meeting, they all raised their hand and said, you know, we would like to go on this tour right after school ends. And without even hesitating, I said, okay, we'll do it. And then I thought in my mind, how in the world am I going to book all these churches? They don't know who we are. We have never practiced together. We don't have anything. And God just kept saying, just be faithful. Just be faithful. I said, okay, God, I'll do it, even if it fails. We ended up touring for longer than we expected because churches kept asking us, please come back. Another pastor would say, hey, can you come to this church over here? And it was blessed. And everybody that walked with me on that journey said, this was an amazing experience. We were not part of Southwestern. We were on our own. We had to rent our own vans. We had to get our own equipment. And then God blessed our ministry so much that at the end of the semester, I was able to give each person that came with me a scholarship. And then it became part of Southwestern for the next 7 years. And I was amazed by that. It was nothing that I did except that I was faithful. My question to you guys is, has God put on your heart a ministry here at CBC? Do some of you have this intense desire to do something for God's will? I know that we have a certain amount of groups that have scholarships here, but maybe there's some of you guys who play guitars, bass, drums. Maybe some of you guys want to go out and witness, and you're like, I want to do this, but I don't know how to do this. My question simply is, what is stopping you? Because if it's, well, I don't know how to do this, that's not a good enough answer. Step out in faith. Do what God has planted in your heart. Because just like all these other ones, Moses and David and Abraham and Isaac, they all had to take a step of faith. I became an associate pastor after I got out of college. I worked for Southwestern for 2 years, and then I had a cousin of mine asked me to be his associate pastor. I got tricked into ministry, okay? I was not planning to be a pastor. I was a counseling psychology major. I was planning to get a PhD in psychology and become a psychologist. That was it. End of story. My cousin calls me, hey, we want to start a counseling center at our church, and I want you to come and be our counseling pastor. And by faith, I said, okay, I'll go do that. Well, I drove there, and I show up, and he says, well, we're not going to do the counseling center, but we need you to help with the youth. I never did youth ministries in my life. I had no idea what I was doing. I was tricked. I was tricked into ministry. But God was faithful. I had an awesome group of about 30 young men and women. And they needed direction. They sucked up every word that I gave them. They came to the altars almost every week. And I was like, my goodness. All these people needed was someone to guide them. All they needed was someone to give them a push in the right direction. The very first month I was there, I asked the whole group. I said, how many of you guys feel like you're going to go to college? Out of 30, only two raised their hand. I was shocked. I didn't realize what kind of neighborhood my church was in. I didn't realize that this wasn't the kind of church that people went to college. And at the end of the time that I was there, I asked them again, how many of you guys want to go to college? And all but one raised their hand. I was like, wow, God, that's a blessing. I found out later, maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, I counted up how many of them went to college. 11 of my youth not only went to college, they went to Bible college. Man. And I'm thinking, yeah, amen. I'm thinking, what if I wasn't faithful in these things? I did not want to be in ministry. I didn't take any preaching classes, so that's probably why I'm doing so bad today. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just getting up here and reading scriptures and giving you stories. Why is that so funny? After I ended that ministry, I moved back to Colorado, and I was trying to find ministry there, and nothing was open, nothing available. And to make a long story short, God gave me two options. Either stick around in Denver and try to find ministry, or go to Korea. Now, that's a whole other story. I'll get to that later in another sermon if they let me preach here again. And I said, God, I don't know what you have in Korea. All I know is they want me to go and teach English. I've never taught English in my life. I don't know what I'm doing. And I said, God, I kind of like this idea. If you want to bless it, then bless it. And he said, go. I said, I'm going. Not 3 weeks that I was there in Korea. 3 weeks later, I was already on the worship team. 2 weeks later, I was leading worship. 2 weeks later after that, I was on staff at this church. This was a Baptist church. This had 40 pastors on staff. I'm the only one that was non-Korean. I felt like I was walking through the hall of faith when all these pastors, men of God, all dressed up in suits and they could button their button, had ties on. And I'm walking in there and I'm young. I was 26 years old at the time. And I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. We lost our pastor, and they said, we don't want you to pastor with us because you're Assemblies of God, which I thought was interesting. So I kept driving by the Assemblies of God church, and three times the Holy Spirit said, go. So I would be driving. I'm like, I have other things to do. The second time it was louder, go. I'm like, I don't know. What do I say? Third time I said, okay, my wife and I, we were married at that time. And I said, we got to go. And so, she goes, well, what are we going to ask them? Well, do they have an English ministry? If they don't, then we'll start one. If they do, then we'll join them. An hour after we walked into that church, I was the new English pastor at a church. We walked in there. They said, do you have an English ministry? No. Well, do you want to start one? Yes. Can you do it this Sunday? I was like, no, I cannot do it this Sunday. Give me a month. So we were there for a month, and the Lord blessed it. My wife and I were able to have a radio program where we taught people in English and Korean Bible stories. and how to pray in English. It was amazing. God opened so many doors. I could tell you, go on and on and on about Korea. But my point is, be faithful when God calls you. My dad taught me that whenever there is a need, just feel it. I went to Michigan because they had a need. I didn't really know what I was doing. I went and I just filled a need. I went to Korea because there was a need. I didn't know what I was going to do. I filled a need. My father went to Bible college with the express purpose of going to be a good Christian. He was planning to go back into construction after he went to Bible college and nothing more. Then he graduated and they say, hey, we need a janitor here at the Bible college. Can you become the janitor? So he said, oh, there's a need. I'll fill it. Okay. Because he had to wait for my mother to graduate. Then the next semester they say, hey, we need you to teach this Bible class. The janitor's doing the Bible class? The next semester, we need you to teach two more classes. 5 years go by, they say, we need you to be the principal of Latin American Bible Institute. Well, that's interesting. Then he became the founding president of a little school called Southern Arizona Bible College, which was one of our Assemblies of God schools. It went defunct about 10 years ago. But it was in existence for about 19 years. And I don't know if you know this, but that's exactly where Dr. Vigil went to Bible school. Dr. Vigil and I have known each other since I was 9 years old, and I happened to dig up an old SABC yearbook. Does anybody want to see some pictures? This is Dr. Vigil, freshman class, council. Here's part of his yearbook. Here's his wife right here. You can't see him. That's him right there. Let me get that a little bit bigger. Handsome guy. I don't think he's here, so I'm okay. I'll have a job for another semester. I sure hope he's not here. I'm in trouble if I am. My father went to Bible school to be a janitor. He became the president of a Bible college. He became a missionary to Mexico. He just resigned as assistant superintendent of our district, the central district. And I'm thinking, that wasn't too bad for somebody who didn't plan on being in ministry. That's pretty good. By faith, Moses did such and such. By faith, David did such and such. By faith, Frascuelo Eli Duran did all these things. That's my dad's name. Frascuelo. I like to say his name, Frascuelo. What about an updated version of a Hall of Faith? What if we would try to put something together today on people who have done great things today? I threw out a few names I just wanted to talk about. By faith, Billy Graham preached the gospel to more people than anyone else in history. Nearly 215 million people in 185 countries. By faith, Bill Bright started Campus Crusade for Christ, the world's largest Christian ministry, that was fueled by his passion to present the love and claims of Jesus Christ to every living person on earth. Bill Bright spent more than 5 decades building and leading his ministry until he passed away a few years back. By faith, Rick Warren founded Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California in 1980 with one family. Today that church averages 22,000, and he's a pretty awesome writer as well. By faith, Stanley Horton pursued higher education at a time. He pursued higher education at a time in the Assemblies of God when that was looked down upon, and became a pioneer in Pentecostal theology. I went and sat and I like to go to Dr. Horton's house and we play dominoes. He loves playing dominoes. And he was telling us about the time he went to a revival service, and this was the time that he was in Harvard, and the revival, the evangelist kept preaching, and you don't need to go to Bible school to learn the gospel. Jesus can help you, and he kept pointing at Dr. Horton, and it was really despised in that time that he was going to Harvard. Wow, he's come quite a ways. We don't realize the journey that he's been on. But what will the next chapter of this hall of faith read like? I want you to think about this. What has God placed in your heart? By faith, your name here and your vision here. Think about it for a second. By faith, what does God have for you? Maybe one of these days, 20 years, 30 years from now, somebody will be preaching right here about you. It's not about being famous. It's about being faithful. What does God have for you to be faithful in? Maybe it's something as small as starting a small ministry, feeding the homeless. By faith, CBC started extensions in Michigan and other places. By faith, CBC is pursuing scholarship endeavors that will help the next generation of ministers. By faith, you have enrolled at CBC despite family situations, despite financial difficulties, despite not knowing the whole picture of where you're going to go after you graduate. Be faithful. Don't give up. You came here and you thought, oh, I can't do it. No. Just wipe that away. By faith. If God has called you here, there has to be a reason. I hate it when people said, God called me to leave CBC. What are you talking about? If he brought you here for a purpose, you have to fulfill that purpose. God has you here for a reason. By faith, you are preparing for a future that may seem impossible. How many of you guys sometimes think the ministry that God has given you in your heart is impossible? I want to tell you something. God is in the business of doing the impossible. That's what it is. But you know what? It takes people of faith to do those things. I think, to me, one of the greatest miracles was parting of the Red Sea. Can you imagine what 2 or 3 million people just standing there? What now? And then the water goes, and they probably go, oh, wow. I can't imagine that. Bill Bright was asked once, why did God use and bless your life so much? And he said, when I was a young man, I made a contract with God. I literally wrote it out and signed my name at the bottom. It said, from this day forward, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. How many of you have given up totally to Jesus Christ? I like how Romans says it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. That's pretty powerful. But I really like this quote by Rick Warren. I love this. It says, the problem with a living sacrifice is that it can crawl off the altar. God, I'm going to give you everything, but not that. That's too hard. God, I'm going to be faithful, and whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. You want me to do that? I don't know. How many, don't raise your hand, but please, just think about it. How many of you have ever crawled off the altar of God when God has said, be faithful and do something, and you're like, I don't know about that, God. Maybe that's for somebody else. Faculty, staff, students, don't crawl off the altar of God. Surrender yourself completely to His will, and you will be added to the hall of faith. You will be one who is commended for their faith. You will be one that God is well pleased with. Well, how can I be added to this faith, hall of faith? How can I be a person commended as one who pleases God? I'm going to shift gears here, but I want to tell you one little thing. To be able to do this, I want you to understand, you have to be faithful in the little things. God doesn't always bring the Red Sea for everybody. Say, hey, look it, I parted the Red Sea. But maybe He has something little for you to be faithful in. Today I want to just share a few things from my heart. Number one, please be faithful with your studies. Be faithful with your studies. Do you realize that's the number one priority that you're here? Freshmen, I know you come in and you're like, I want to join that ministry group. I want to go to that church. I want to help out over here. And then you get bogged down with ministry that you've forgotten your studies. Number two, Be faithful to your commitments. Many of you have jobs. Be faithful to them. Many of you have ministries. Well, be faithful to them, but just don't put too many of them out there. Many of you have bills you have to pay. Be faithful to those, to your commitments. When you sign the application to come here to CBC, it states, I will submit to all regulations of the college and to seek to maintain by conduct and achievement its high standards and noble traditions. I don't know how many of you guys read that, but it's there and you put your name to it. I better read that again just in case you forgot what your application said. I will submit to all regulations of the college and seek to maintain by conduct and achievement its high standards and noble traditions. Come on, people. Quit complaining about the rules. You should have known about them when you got here. Stop trying to stretch the rules or bend the rules. They're here to set high standards. You know what I love my job wholeheartedly, but you know one of the dumbest things I hate about my job is having to walk into somebody's room and say, you need to spray some Lysol in here. You think that's funny? It's not funny to me. I really hate to say, you know what, guys? You need to wash your sheets at least once a semester. You think that's funny, but... Jeez, I don't think that was funny at all. The rules here are to make you better people. Because listen to this, people. Listen to this. One day, you will not be at CBC. The habits that you form now will go right into your ministry. If you try to bend the rules now, what's going to keep you from trying to bend the rules in your ministry? Oh, come on, I'm preaching now. If you do not pray and read your Bible regularly, do you think just because you become a minister that will change? Do it now. Start doing that now. I'm going to get to this point in a minute, but President Dembo says something that's awesome. He calls this place a spiritual laboratory. I love it when he uses that phrase. And I want to get to that in a little bit, but let me keep going. Pastor Baker, you discussed this, so I won't talk about it too much. But if you play video games and surf the internet for 3 hours a day or more, do you think you could put that on a resume? I don't think so. Study. Do your best while you're here. This is valuable time. I know about 80% of the people that I went to Bible college said, man, I wish I would have done things differently when I was there. I wish I would have studied a little bit harder. I wish I'd been able to grab hold of the ministries that were there when I was there. Don't look back at this time with regrets. Do the best you can while you're here. Number three, and this is very important to my heart, is find a mentor. This is something that was very dear to my heart because I went to Bible school. How much time do I have? Oh, I got 2 minutes. I went to Bible school, and I was expecting that my dorm director, we call them dorm pastors at Southwestern, my resident director, dorm pastor, he was never around for us. His door was always closed. He never ate at the cafeteria with us. He had another job. And there were so many of us just kind of wandering, trying to have somebody to help us. We didn't even have a campus pastor. Do you guys realize how blessed you guys are to have a counseling center, a pastor, a campus pastor? Brother Baker, you're awesome. We love you. We have professors who really care about you guys. They love you. I wish you could hear the conversations that some of us as professors, we talk about, and they talk like that you're their own children. By the way, hey guys, if somebody has an earned doctorate, call them doctor. It gets me so upset that when someone says, oh yeah, Dembo preaching chapel today. I got to go to Vahil's office. Oh, that rubs me the wrong way. You know what? We need to start having a little bit respect here. Because if you have a lack of respect now, what's going to change when you get out of Bible school? I'm trying to hurry up because I see people leaving. I'm losing you guys. I'm losing you. Come on. Come on, Damon, do it. And finally, expand your horizons. Try different kind of ministries that you've never done before. Do ministries such as homeless ministries, cross-cultural ministries. CBC has all sorts of different ministries you can get involved with. CMF, I don't know if you realize this, but CMF is not just for the missions majors. I don't know where you got that from. It's not just for missions majors. Take a missions trip. Do you realize how many Spring Impact trips we have? Mardi Gras trip. This summer we have 4 trips going to Alaska, Indonesia, Japan, and India. By the way, I'm leading up the Japan trip, so if anybody want to go, just come talk to me after that. When was the last time you read your Bible and you just couldn't stop because God was revealing something great to you? When was the last time you prayed and you did not want to leave His presence? Musicians and singers and worship team leaders, when's the last time you just practiced and you just kept playing one song over and over and over again because God was doing something in your practice that you didn't want to stop? I said, let's just keep on worshiping. Forget the practice. For you worship teams, how many have you spent 80% of your time practicing and 20% of your time praying? There's something wrong with that. Have a new respect and attitude of awe of our God. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Will God one day commend you for being faithful? That's what I want to leave you with. Will God one day commend you for being faithful? I pray, I'm going to end right here. I'm going to pray that one day God will say, well done, good and faithful servants. Let's pray. Father God, you are so awesome and you're so worthy to be praised. God, it should be our heart's desire to be added to this hall of faith. Not to have any type of title, but simply, Lord God, that we are faithful to you. I pray for each student that has been here, Lord God, that is in this chapel right now, Lord God, that this message has touched and pierced their hearts. As we leave this place today, Lord God, change and transform us. Renew us, Father God. Help us to live faithfully according to your will. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pass.